about to begin a new discussion of a new mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of mezuzah. I've been saying already for many years in the Word of Smicha program, I think they should add Hilchos Mezuzah to the required curriculum, because most Rabbanim get a lot of shahs in Hilchos Mezuzah, and a lot of people don't get a chance to learn Hilchos Mezuzah properly. So we'll try to, I know we're going to give out Smicha today, but we'll try to get a little bit of a better understanding in the next couple of weeks about some of the dinim of Hilchos Mezuzah, particularly try to highlight those shahs that come up very much lemaisa. So much of the discussion of Mezuzah that we're going to have, at least in the beginning, is going to revolve really around one word, and that's the word bias. The Torah tells us, "Chsafim amzuz beisecha uvisharecha." One is obligated in a mezuzah and a bias. So the question really becomes, how do we define bias properly in halacha? So the Gemara tells us, in Sugya's a mezuzah, Maseches Menachos, the beginning of Maseches Yuma, that basically bias is pretty much synonymous with a makom dira, a place where a person lives, is considered to be his bias. What exactly is considered to be living? So this is a machloikis in the Gemara as to how far we take this idea of a makom dira. So there are some days in the Gemara that insist that dira means literally a person lives, in the sense of where a person sleeps, a person eats, a person then hangs out during the course of the day. That would mean most of the rooms in our houses. Bedrooms are chayav mezuzah, and kitchens are chayav mezuzah, and dining rooms are chayav mezuzah, and living rooms are chayav mezuzah. That's one opinion of the Gemara. Then the Gemara raises the question, what about a place where a person doesn't technically live, but a person stores things? So can you really say that's considered to be a bias or not? So one day the Gemara says, no, that's not considered to be a bias. It's called an alocha besa otzar. So a besa otzar wouldn't constitute a chayav mezuzah. So according to that opinion, a garage would be puzzled from mezuzah. So a basement, a person has things, doesn't live in the basement, just stores things in the back room, basement, so those types of rooms would be potter from mezuzah. On the other hand, the Gemara says, no, that's also considered to be included in bias. Why exactly is that considered to be bias? So Rashi explains, because even though a person doesn't literally live there, but a person comes there all the time, a person goes to the garage to get his car, a person goes to the storeroom to get his stuff, so that's also considered to be an extension of a makom dira, that's also considered to be a halachic bias. How do we pass in halacha? So it's a machlekes that we showed him. So machlekes the Rambam and everybody else. The Rambam passes that these types of houses are potter from mezuzah, nobody else passes this way. We pass in halacha that a beis otzer is in fact chayav in mezuzah, and the poskim write, we pass it not b'teres sofik, but b'teres vada, we pass it that a beis otzer is chayav in mezuzah, and therefore one is required, the ikra din, the daraisa, to put up a mezuzah on a garage and on a storeroom and a basement, and any of these kinds of rooms are considered to be beis otzer, such a chayav in mezuzah, and therefore one is required to put them up, and one presumably should recite a bracha, one's only putting up a mezuzah in a garage, for argument's sake, one would be required to recite a bracha. The Gemara tells us that even though you have a particular room which may be part of your house, and your house is being used for a makom dira, but this particular room they're using, or this particular house they have designated, is used for a type of dira that's not a dira shel kavod, that it's not a respectable type of a dira. It's something like a beis hamerchos, like a beis hakisei, a bathroom or a shower, or things of that nature. So the Gemara says that's not considered to be beis secha. The beis secha only conjures up that image, just as a bais is a makom kavod, so too only a room which is a makom kavod is chayav in mezuzah, a place which is meyuchad l'kach, set aside for these types of activities, would not be obligated in mezuzah whatsoever. The reason Machlokes, we showed him how to understand Pshat in this halacha, that a bathroom and a bathhouse, a shower, those kinds of rooms are exempt from mezuzah. So there is a shah in the Rishonim. What's the halacha in the following case? All these examples that the Gemara gives of rooms which are exempt from mezuzah are rooms which the ikar tafkir, the main function, is to go to the bathroom, to take a shower, etc. So that's clearly not considered to be a makom kavod, and therefore they're exempt from mezuzah. What are the other type of a room that really has a dual purpose? I mean, it's set aside for a lot of different purposes. Sometimes they do things which are dvarim shel kavod, and sometimes they do things which are not dvarim shel kavod. So are those types of rooms obligated in mezuzah? What would the shaila be? Let's say you have a particular room where sometimes people are dressed, and sometimes people are undressed. Is that considered to be a makom diras kavod or not? So what's that law? So this is the machlekes that we showed him. So you have a bedroom. So you have a bedroom. You have a single guy living in his own apartment. So then presumably his bedroom is chayav in mezuzah l'chol hadeis. If a married couple, so the bedroom is used for a lot of things. So sometimes people are just sleeping in the bedroom. bedrooms. So the other times people are involved in Tashmish Amita, so they're not always dressed in the bedroom. So maybe one could argue that's also definitively like a not a makom kavod. Just as the Beis HaMerchatz, just as the shower is exempt from mezuzah, so to a married couple's bedroom maybe should be exempt from mezuzah as well. So the Ramah quotes the Shaila about this. So there was some Rishonim who said, yeah, the Nechanami, you don't need a mezuzah on the bedroom because that's also considered to be like a makom she'ena shel kavod. Other Rishonim say, no, that's not the same as a bathroom. A bathroom, so the whole purpose of the bathroom is to be ena shel kavod, whereas a bedroom has a multi-purpose room. So most of the things you do in the bedroom, 99% of the time, the people are dressed in the bedroom. So therefore that wouldn't constitute a dirish ena shel kavod, and it would in fact be obligated in mezuzah. So there are more quotes. In fact, 2 days about this, Anukas mezuzah, what's the halacha, whether a room where a married couple is sleeping, is it actually chayv mezuzah? Then the Ramah adds on, he says, he thinks that the med of Amamurim, when do we say that there was such a machloikis, whether a couple's bedroom requires a mezuzah? That's only when the mezuzah would end up being exposed to where the couple is sleeping. But if there's a door to the bedroom, and the mezuzah is going to be in front of the door, so you're going to close the door, the couple is together, you're going to close the door, so the mezuzah is behind, and in front of the building, the chapel of the is where you're coming from. If you're standing outside the room, so you see the mezuzah first, now it's a closed door, so there's a door separating between where the mezuzah is and where the couple is going to be sleeping, so the Ramah writes, he thinks the choladeh is that such a room would be obligated in mezuzah. So that's what we paskin halacha, that's what we're machriyah. We paskin that a bedroom, in theory, is a shaila, but if there's a door there, which is 99.99% of our bedrooms, so there's a door there. So therefore, one would be obligated in mezuzah on a regular bedroom. Just because one is chayv in mezuzah in a regular bedroom doesn't mean that one has to not be concerned with the halachas in terms of the kedushas on mezuzah. The halacha is that, now let's say when it comes to a sefer Torah or it comes to a pirat tefillin, so a person has to be careful not to be not to have tashmish shamit. The couple is not supposed to be together in the presence of a sefer Torah, in the presence of tefillin, or the post can extend it to asvarim also, even though not everybody agreed that printed svarim have the status of sefer Torah. But we try in this area of halach to be machbit as well, so a couple is supposed to be careful not to be together in the presence of dvarim shebe kedusha. If one finds oneself in such a situation, so we spoke about this in some of the earlier shiurim during the course of the year and on the evenings a while back, so one is supposed to either make a mechitza, to make a makeshift mechitza, 10 tefachim between oneself and the svarim, or usually easier to do is do what's called kiss to sub kiss, make a double covering to take, let's say, one towel put over the svarim and then another towel on top of the svarim, as long as they're doubly covered, so that wouldn't pose a problem. So when it comes to a mezuzah, you have the same type of a situation. So 99% of the time, if you have a mezuzah on the front door of the bedroom, so you just close the door, finish. But some people have, let's say, archways inside the bedroom. So we'll talk a little bit more about archways as we get further on. But so when you have a type of a situation, you have a pesach, you have an archway that's maybe chayv in mezuzah, and now it's going into the bedroom, and there's no door there, so it's 2 days in the Ramah whether it needs a mezuzah, and I mean, because we put the mezuzah up. So you put the mezuzah up, so how are you going to be careful not to mezuzah in the conditions of mezuzah? So the same thing, one requires kiss and self-kiss. One would require a double covering on the mezuzah in order that it shouldn't be a problem. So in terms of the mezuzah, we tell you to put the mezuzah up. We tell you in the front door of the bedroom, of course you put the mezuzah up. Even in the archways in the bedroom, we would also tell you to put the mezuzah up, but we would tell you to be careful that the mezuzah is double covered. How is the mezuzah double covered? So one would think, well, every mezuzah is double covered. It's wrapped, usually they wrap mezuzah around in little plastic bags, or some little saran wrap to protect it, and then you put a case on. So that should be a double covering. So that could possibly be a problem for the following reason, that the halacha is that it only constitutes a double covering if it's something which is not miyuchah b'kach for the mezuzah. If it's derech l'chasosa b'kach, and that's what the Gemara calls kelyon, that's the regular way, that's the regular kli that a sefer is in, or the mezuzah is in, that only constitutes one covering. So now I have a strange situation. You have a mezuzah that's physically double covered, the halacha, it's only single covered. So what do you do about that? So the good news is that the post can say that if a person really makes a double covering, even though it's da'ka b'kach, but he's doing it mamish li'yichud, shame the purpose of that it should be covered up, that it should be halakhly protected, so that's good enough. So therefore, we assume that we hope that when the sofrim cover the mezuzahs with plastic, so they're also having that in mind. They should have that in mind. That when they're wrapping up the mezuzah in plastic, so it's al-das that they should protect the conditions of the mezuzah as well. So therefore, l'maisa, if a person has a mezuzah on one of his archways, so then it would be okay. One need not double cover it because it's... because the plastic covering is one, and then the mezuzah case is a second. The only thing is, if it's a transparent mezuzah case, that's the problem, because it has to be something that blocks the mezuzah. It's not visible anymore. So therefore, one should be mafkin on. If you have a mezuzah inside your bedroom with an archway in your bedroom, one should be careful to use an opaque mezuzah case rather than just a plastic one, which wouldn't serve as a cover. But anyway, getting back to the rechiv mezuzah per se, although there was a machlokes we showed him. As to whether a regular bedroom door is chayiv in mezuzah, the ma'aser we passed in that night, upset the time, it is chayiv for sure because of the door, and even if you don't have a door there, even if you have an archway or something, we will tell you to preferably put up the mezuzah as well. This halacha, that an area that's not a makom covered is potter from mezuzah, you have a shayla, you have this very often in yeshivas. You have like an entranceway to the bathroom. And you have a room, first hall. So you open up the door to go into the bathroom, so there's an area where the sinks are there, and the towels are there, and then you open up a second door in order to get to the bathroom proper. So does that first room consider to be chayiv mezuzah or not? So the chayiv, that first room is chayiv mezuzah, because that room is not a mokom she'eno shel kavod. That's the place you wash your hands. Let's say, let's see, in your house, you would have a sink room. You'd have a room where you just wash your hands. It's an expensive house, you have a sink room. So you would say that's part of a mezuzah? No, it's part of normal beer, you wash your hands. That's a normal function that people do. That's not a davar she'eno shel kavod. So just because this room happens to be adjacent to the bathroom, why in the world is that potter from mezuzah? So the pashup shot is that first room, when you walk into that sink room, the paper towel room, the chayr should be chayv mezuzah. There are no mezuzahs on the doors there in YU, but that's the chayr what the din should be. So I remember several years ago when I was in Beth Jacob, the shul in California, I used to run a summer kollel there. So they also had those kinds of rooms. Many shuls had those kinds of rooms. And downstairs, they have mezuzah downstairs. No, some of okay, good. So I can't disagree with them, the Tzach of Abraham. But I don't know, I thought that there shouldn't be a mezuzah, but apparently others disagree. So I remember when I came to Beit Jacob, so I was very surprised. I walked into the bathroom, and I saw that there was no mezuzah on the sink room part. That didn't surprise me. A lot of places don't have that. But then I happened to notice by the women's bathroom, so I noticed that there was mezuzah which was leading into the sink room. So that was really, really, that mamash puzzled me, baffled me. What's the pshat? I can understand those who claim that it's not a makom kavod. I can understand that. They consider that it's not like a sink room. It's part of the bathroom. It's an extension of the bathroom. So I can hear. I'm not being moti laz on the pshat here, the pshat in YU. But I also understand the other side of the equation. I thought that look is that it does need a mezuzah. But the split between the men's bathroom and the women's bathroom, I don't know, equal egalitarian bathrooms. I couldn't understand what the pshat is, why the men's bathroom was potter and why the women's bathroom was chayav.
Women can clear couches in
there. Couches. Oh, so I'll tell you what happened. No, I'll tell you what really happened. So I asked her up there. My friend, Rabbi Weil, I asked him, my high. He said, no, it's very simple. He had asked somebody what they thought the halacha was, and they thought absolutely he should put a mezuzah there. So when he came, he put a mezuzah both in the men's bathroom and the ladies' bathroom. He said there was an older man in shul who walked into shul and he started yelling at Rabbi Weil. He says, "What? You're such an amoritz." He said, "You don't know that bathrooms are potter from mezuzah." And the guy yanked the mezuzah off the bathroom. So Rabbi Weil did assault. They say for talking, they don't want to get into a fight with the guy. So he left for sure. The guy was so agitated about the mezuzah in the bathroom, so he left and there's no mezuzah there. And he said, this guy never realized that there's a ladies' bathroom, and his wife is not such a canard like he is, so she never yanked the mezuzah off the ladies' bathroom. So just because he yanked the mezuzah off the men's bathroom doesn't mean that the ladies shouldn't be left. So that's why the psak. So if you ever go to California, you go to Beit Jacob, that's the reason for that strange psak. No other wonders.
Why in YU though?
Why in YU? Yes, they hold like here. I mean, they hold that's just an extension of the bathroom, and it's also considered to be like an out of muffin cover.
Is there a question about schools only by the name show?
That's all I thought about. But when you get to show in a second about the name part of the show. The Gemara says that there are other types of batim which are very mekomos of kavod, hopefully should be mekomos of kavod, which are also exempt from mezuzah, and that's the shul based knesset. So the Gemara says that if an area based knesset, a shul, is not really a mekom dira, a person doesn't live inside a shul, so therefore one would be potter from mezuzah. There's no need whatsoever to put up a mezuzah on a shul. However, this cloud that a shul is potter from mezuzah, this only means as follows. That means the hechel part. It means the part of people actually davening. So that's potter, because as we all know, you're not supposed to eat there, you're not supposed to sleep there, so it's not not really a makom dira. It's not a makom dira, so therefore it's part of from mezuzah. What if you have other rooms in the shul? So you have to say the main door into Beth Abraham. So of course they need the mezuzah. Of course the rooms to the social hall need a mezuzah. Of course you have rooms to other doors to other rooms which are used for other purposes. About do they require a mezuzah? The only question, it's not a question, the only room which is clearly part of the mezuzah is the actual room to the sanctuary, the place of the Machom Tefillah itself. So even though there are many shuls that do put up mezuzah, they just feel that the room doesn't look Jewish without a mezuzah. So in Rivendell, I think Rabbi Willig still sticks to his guns. I think he actually does not have a mezuzah on the door that's going into the Hekel part of the sanctuary. If I'm not mistaken, he does no mezuzah there. And when you ask him, why does he put another $30 to buy a mezuzah? So he says, no, he wants people to ask. And he wants to explain to them the reason why there's no mezuzah is because this is not your living room. Because this is not where you sleep, and this is not where you talk, and this is not where you eat. This is the Makom Kadosh. So that's why there's no, that's his thing. That's why there's no mezuzah there. But I think most other shuls have caved in and put mezuzahs on their doors leading to the shul.
It depends on whether it's real Kedusha's
faith. So l'chor, this tour only applies if it's really Takanat HaMakom Dira. It means it's a place where you're really not eating in, you're really not sleeping in, you're really not using for purposes. Let's say you have it set up like an actual, which really technically doesn't have Kedusha's basic masses. When we built the room, so we may build it all tonight, that it shouldn't be discouraged with Kedusha's basic masses for obvious reasons. So, is a part of our house is on top of it. So that's one consideration. Other considerations, what we want to have Kedusha's, the other kind of things in the Heichel, quote-unquote, itself. So therefore we built it specifically ala tonight, that it would not be discouraged with Kedusha's basic masses. So that's true, and not only is it not discouraged, but we're using ala mice of Horaya. We have day like today when it rains, so we have Kiddushes, except in January, even then sometimes they try to pull off Kiddushes outdoors, but for our Kiddushes are usually indoors. We have Malav and Machlos, we have them indoors. We have dinners, we have them indoors. So we use the shul for clearly for other types of purposes. So I think that room is Chayim, the Daraisa, the Chavadayis, it's Mamash HaMakom Dira, it's an extension of our house, extension of that we use for personal purposes. So I think that's for sure Chayim, the Daraisa. That's why I got nervous on the last day of Pesach. I noticed that the mezuzah going into the shul itself, so one of the nails had come off. So the whole shiloh we'll talk about later about how secure the mezuzah has to be. So it didn't really come off, it just come out a little bit. So the mezuzah was a little bit flimsy. It was almost falling off. So it could be that you're not yet to the mezuzah itself. The mezuzah is not sturdy enough. So I'm not the fucking do. You can't fix it. So the Mordechai writes that if you live in a house on Shabbos and there's no mezuzah there, it's not an aveira because there's no issur to live in a house without a mezuzah. There's a mitzvah ksivus of mezuzah, mitzvah ksivus of mezuzah. So kolzman that you can be kaveh mezuzah, yechayet. Kolzman you can't be kaveh mezuzah, so you're potter. So kolzman that was yomtiv for hands and pots, well, you can't be kaveh mezuzah. But the second the yomtiv was over, as soon as whatever this man that kept was over, so the first thing I did in Matzah Pesach before they had Abdullah, before they had Chomazah, I took a hammer and I nailed in the mezuzah properly because that is Shabbat pitul mitzvah derai. On that route, because that's considered to be a makom dira. If it's not, no, absolutely not, right? It'd be mamash bracha batala. Then you have a discussion in the Rishonim. What about not a shul? What about a Beis HaMedrash? If you have an area that's set aside for makom of learning, is that chayv mezuzah not? That was a machlekes Rishonim. So many Rishonim said that's also not a makom dira. That's a makom kadosh. Another said no. Beis HaMedrash is different from a Beis Knesset because first of all, even the halachas in terms of conditions Beis Knesset, conditions Beis HaMedrash are a little bit different. That whereas one is not really allowed to eat in a shul, one in a Beis HaMedrash, so one under certain circumstances is permitted to eat because that's considered to be more of an extension of a person's house. So if you have a room that's set aside as a Beis Medrash, it's not really primarily a shul, so a Beis Medrash may very well be chayav in mezuzah. So that's a shayla in the poskim. So some poskim use a lashon that it depends how much people are there. If a guy just comes in and learns for 5 minutes or something after davening, that's not really a Beis Medrash. You have guys who are sitting there, Yom Belayla, their mom is sitting there, they live there, mom is living in the Beis Medrash. So that would be chayav in mezuzah. That's usually how we paskin, that we do put up the mezuzahs on the bati midrashas. So even if we don't put mezuzahs on the Beis Knesses, on the bati midrashas, we do insist on putting a mezuzah, and that would probably be, maybe also be without a bracha. One would think that this is the machlokes Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Wasn't that Korach's time? That Vayish and Molly Svarim? So the answer is that wasn't. Korach wasn't talking about a Beis Knesses, he was talking about a private house. If I have a private house and my living room, so my living room is Molly Svarim, so Korach could paskin that it doesn't need a mezuzah. Vayish and Molly Svarim, the mezuzah for. So that Moshe Rabbeinu told him he was wrong. That of course needs the mezuzah because it's a makom dira. It happens to me, Malay Svarim, the Bayish and Malay Svarim. But if you have a base medrash, like that's miyucha v'kach for learning, so that is a machlekes of Rishonim. And I mean, I guess that we put it up, albeit perhaps without a bracha.
Classrooms in the school?
Yes, those are probably all extensions. Those are all like Bati Midrashos. Because, I mean, you can tell me that. You're a chinuch, so you know, kids sometimes sleep in class, and the kids sometimes eat in class, they sometimes talk in the middle of class. So it's not really, it's not like a shul where nobody ever talks, and yeah, right? So it's a classroom. So therefore we assume that the classrooms probably would be chayiv in mezuzah. The Gemara speaks about the stores, whether they're chayiv and mezuzah, and the Gemara seems to say that stores are potter from mezuzah. So the only thing is, the Pesach Yeshiva quotes that the stores the Chazal referring to were not stores like we have, which are kavua, which the balabas, sometimes the person has a store, he mamash lives in the store, because he may go home to sleep, but he usually very often lunch in the store, he has a little kitchen sometimes in the back of the store, very often he has a little bed in the back of the store, so that kind of a store is mamash and mokom dira. But the store that Chazal was referring to were like at fairs, like, you know, he puts up a little like the Sugis and Masechus Beitza, puts up a little shelf or something, a little booth or something, so when he sells his wares there and then closes it up, those kinds of stores are popular for mezuzah. But if a person has a regular full-fledged store, so he would be chayv mezuzah. So it's based on this that we assume that offices are also chayv mezuzah. A person has his office, so he does a lot of the Dvarim Shel Dira there. He eats lunch in his office, he takes a nap in his office, he talks on the phone in his office, he learns stuff. Yeah, I mean, his office, there's lots of things in his office. So that his office is chayv mezuzah. Sometimes an office may be possible for a different reason if it's not his. We'll have to talk about that later. If a person is merely renting an office or he's just borrowing office space, so that's a whole different story about whether such a room would be chayv mezuzah. But if a person owns his own office, so then it's another pashat that it's chayv mezuzah. Or if he's renting a specific office, then the Baal HaBos can't throw him out of that office, so that was for sure be chayv mezuzah. A person is not renting a specific office, just gives him a particular office, but they could change him to another office. So that's a whole different story. Hopefully we'll get to that when we talk about the status of the Seich and Schiros and guests and hotels and things like that in terms of mezuzah. But the Ikaron, even though the offices seem to be like a chanus, it's not really the same. That a chanus of old is different from the types of offices that we have. There is an interesting shaya that the doctors have in terms of doctor's offices. The doctor's office is chayv mezuzah, so the part of the office where the doctor does his consultations and he'll sometimes eat his luncheon or something, he'll do his dafyari maybe if it's a slow day, so that for sure is chayv mezuzah. What about the examination rooms? Are the exam rooms chayv mezuzah or not? So I thought that it depends on the type of the doctor. And I think going back on the following, not enough from the doctor, I think it depends on the following. It depends on whether or not an exam room is considered to be a makom kavod or not. So he said a bathroom is not a makom kavod. So a bathhouse, a shemitz, a shower, those are mikvah, I mean, at least the mikvah part of the mikvah is not a makom kavod because people usually are going to be undressed there. So I think it depends on the doctor. So you have a dentist's office, someone's teeth, look at your teeth. So that I think is a makom kavod. I think that pashas would be chayiv in mezuzah. Whereas, let's say you have an OBGYN, so you have a doctor who people are most of the time undressed in the office. So I think that would perhaps be potter. I think that pasha should be potter for mezuzah. And I think that it's less of a chiv than the bedroom. The bedroom is basically a makom dira, which happens to also be a little bit of a dvarim shel shel kavod. Whereas over here, the whole office is meyucha l'kach, but dvarim shel kavod. So I think that should lechara be the split. That depends on the kind of doctor. You stop just to plug in the pieces and see whether their type, most of their patients are usually undressed during an exam, if that's really true. And I think that those kinds of rooms would be potter. If a person is a podiatrist or something, so then I think that they would be chayav, those kinds of offices would be chayav mezuzah. I think it depends on that.
Usually, when they're doing the door would be closed also.
Yeah, but the problem, but that's like a bathroom because it's meyuchad lekach for dvarim shel shel kavod. So if they're a bathroom, even though the door is closed, it's still potter for mezuzah. That's what I think that's what halacha is. I didn't see it mamsh black and white in print as chiluf. But when people ask me, that's what I think halacha should be.
So it's like dressing room, like in a store, a dressing room, clearly.
A dressing room, but even a dressing room is not really. People are not mamish undressed there. The guy's walking around in his underwear. I don't know if that's called enoshel. I don't know if that's called enoshel cover. But the question, right, the question is right, but the person is still using it for maybe getting your teeth cleaned. That's also part of a, you know, we're very, very, we're very expansive in terms of Mekama Sheldira. Even storerooms look considered, even Beis Otsos look considered to be, Mekama Sheldira. So even though a person is not necessarily eating in that room, but a person is going in there all the time and taking care of his business there, so that's his business. That's my job. My job is to take care of people's teeth. So I think that such a room would pass to be chayiv in mezuzah. So if you need it, you have an interesting shayla about pediatricians' exam rooms. What are they chayiv mezuzah? So one can argue that maybe yeah, because that's not called inner shel kavod, because we assume like in hilchos erev, like in hilchos kriyashma. So when the kid's little, so that's not called undress. That the erev of a little baby is not really considered to be. I don't know why everyone could argue such an interesting chumra that a pediatrician's a, so you have to manage, go down the list of specialties to figure out who's chayiv, who's butter. I don't know, you have to, it's a tough call. I'm not sure what the din is in each particular profession, but I think that should be the guideline that if it's the type of a doctor where the patients for the most part are really really completely undressed, so I think that should be like a bathroom in a bathhouse.
Based on that, then why shouldn't a small little shop also be considered a bachum tira? The same thing is that he's involved in his wife, but even if he's not even sleeping and drinking whatever.
No, so look, that's what the folks can say, those little like stalls or something. So they're very temporary. You know, you put them up, like in the old days, the guy come to the fair, you put them up, and you take them. Remember the Mishnais and Beitza? The guy puts out the shelves to sell his little wares on, and he closes it up at night. So that's not called the Dira.
But so if you had a shop, even if the guy didn't eat.
Right. Even if the guy doesn't. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think at least he suffered. I think so. The guy eats there for sure, even not. It could be that's considered to be Mahom Dira. That's what I think. Remember, I got the job my wife announced, her earlier job, so she was working at a place, and there were mezuzahs there, but I couldn't exactly, you know, swear to the kashrus of the mezuzahs. So she wanted to know whether she took chiyuv. So I said, what do you do in your office? So she said, well, she eats lunch there sometimes, you know, she'll take a nap, you have to tell me I do in my office. But she eats lunch there, she said, whatever, other things that she does. So I said, yeah, I think you're really chayiv mezuzah. So then I asked her one question, and I said, is it really your office? It means it's built, it's written, it's your contract, this is your office. And no, they can move it to another office. That's a whole different tour. So it could be that it's not really her chiyuv, it's really the balabas's chiyuv to put up such a mezuzah. So the balabas wants to buy a non-kosher mezuzah, that's his problem. So we'll get to that a little bit later when we talk about the rentals. But if a person really has an office that's mamish theirs, so then they have to really look into it, that whether that particular office would actually be chayiv, could even be the right for such offices may actually be chayiv in mezuzah. There is an important sugya that Gemara has in the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, which discusses the definition of bias, which I'd say about 50% of the shalos and uchos mezuzah revolve around this nekuda, and that's the size of the room in order to be chayiv and mezuzah. So the Gemara tells us, those who remember from the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, Daf Gimel, the Gemara rattles off a whole list of halachas which revolve around bias, and there's a cloud gadol when we deal with bias. Bias is always defined as a mokom which is dalet amos by dalet amos. The reason why it's doing a Masechet Sukkah is that according to one Tana, a sukkah has to be dalet amos by dalet amos. Rabbi Yudah Anossi held the way Rabbi Shita was that a sukkah has to be adira, teishvu kein taduru. So Rabbi held that teishvu kein taduru means it has to be mokom dira, and adira means dalet amos. So that's the shiur of sukkah according to Rabbi. The reason why we don't accept that, and the sukkah is for technical reason, because we pass in that sukkah is adira, but it's adira sarai. So adira sarai has to, it can be much less. It's just a temporary type of a dwelling, so it can be much less than dalet amos by dalet amos. That's what we pass in, that a sukkah has to be 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim, because 6 tvachim is 1 amos, so that's the size of a person. So a person needs this way, a little bit of room, just to maneuver a little bit. So that's 1 amos by 1 amos. And then the Gemara says, you need another tepach for your table, for your shulchan, otherwise you ain't going to sit down and eat. So that's also considered to be part of the shiur of sukkah. So we pass in the halacha that the sukkah has to be 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. But Rebbe was of the opinion that it has to be dalet amos by dalet amos, because sukkah is like the same as any other bias. So the Gemara says that even though we disagree with Rebbe when it comes to the chesukah, but we agree to him in the ches mezuzah, when it comes to mezuzah is defined as 4 amos, less than that is not considered to be a bias. Then the Gemara says this is true in all areas of the ches bias, whatever the halacha requires a bias. Let's say the mashal says the mitzvah of makah, that kisiv nebayis chadash, that you have a house and you have a roof, so if the roof is, if the area is more than dalet amos per dalet amos, if the house is more than dalet amos per dalet amos, it's chayim in a ma'akeh. Well, let's say there's a halacha of a person just built a house, so for the first year after he built the house, so he doesn't have to go to war, or the person built the house and wasn't yet mechanech the house, the issue is your bona bayis lo chanocho, so he doesn't go out to war. So what's considered to be a house for those purposes? So the Gemara says the guy builds a little shed 2 feet by 2 feet for for his dog, that's not considered to be Me'ish Bonabayas. If a guy builds a house, that's a minimum of Na'al Amos, but Na'al Amos, that's called a Bayas. So the Gemara says, that's a Shia, that's Pashas, Allah Moshe Messina, that's the one of the Shiurim in the Torah, that the definition of a house has to be Na'al Amos by Na'al Amos. So the Chorah, based on this, so any house, or for that matter, any room, we're being Dan, Hilchus Mezuzah, we're treating each room as a house in and of itself. There are more quotes, that is a terrible thing in his day. Sometimes people would only put mezuzahs on the front door of the house. They wouldn't put mezuzahs on the other rooms. So he says, that's wrong. He says, each room is considered to be an entity in and of itself. So it's chayav and mezuzah. Whenever there's a new tzuris ha-pesach, so it's chayav and mezuzah. So each room is treated as a separate house. And then a room which is less than dalat amos by dalat amos, the pasha should be totally pumped from mezuzah. So the question is that really 100% true? So the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah tells us that there's an exception to that rule. The Gemara says that there's a halacha nuchas erev and nuchas erev tchumen. Let's say I want to walk far on Shabbos, I can't walk more than 2,000 amos. What if I can't walk 2,000 amos past the end of the city limits. Let's say the city ends at a certain point, but then 20 feet away there's a little house, and then 20 feet away there's another little house, another little house. So the Gemara says, in theory, those houses can extend, they could stretch out the city limits to the end of the country. As long as each house is within the shiur of 70 amos and 70 and 2/3 amos. Those who remember the sugya from the Masechet Erevin, there's a whole sugya about how houses continue, how a city continues. I remember several years ago, there was a whole tumult about the walking from Washington Heights to Riverdale, and vice versa, whether it's out of the Chumadah because of the Harlem River, by the Allen Pavilion that breaks up the tzir between the two boroughs. So there was a whole sichzuch in yeshiva about whether you're allowed to walk from Riverdale to Washington Heights and back and forth. So I remember I decided I'm going to get out, I'm going to drive the park my car on one side and measure and see what's going on. So I walked out of my car and I walked across the Broadway Bridge and I measured to see whether it was within the proper shiur. The bad news is that it was not within the proper shiur, that the break between the two cities was a significant enough break. It was when you have two different cities, let's say the Bronx is one halachic city and Manhattan is another halachic city. So the break has to be, you have 70 amos in each direction to be mitzvahed to two. If you have more than 141 and a third amos, so then those cities are considered to be not mitzvahed yachad. So that was a problem. There may be other reasons why they're not a problem based on the geography of this. There's a clown of Erevin, those who remember from the fifth paragraph of Erevin. Whenever you have a city which is shaped in a strange way, like most of our cities today are shaped in these Mishnaic ways, so you take the furthest extreme points and you draw a box, and have the two boxes interlink, so it's considered to be like one city. So we have to study all the maps and figure out why the city are considered to be one. We hope that that's okay. Mice of Rav, we know many people who have walked from Washington Heights to Riverdale and back and forth. So with Erev Tchumen, some without Erev Tchumen, so we're assuming that it's probably still okay. But there was a lot of tumult about 10 years, if you remember, if you're around about 10 years ago, so in Yeshiva, it was a big tumult. Remember at the time I was learning Masechet Erevin, so I was really trying to be Ma'ayin in the Sugya, and happened to be in Lakewood for Shabbos. So the people who are staying by told me that there's this one guy in Lakewood, he's not a mumcha shein kamoy in Erevin. You gotta talk to him. Erev Tchumen, he's really holy in Tchumen. You gotta talk to him. He'll bring you, he'll discuss some of the details of the Washington Heights River. I'm sure he'll be excited about it. So I came to the guy's house, and he was like, that was a chassidish fellow. He was living in a little 2x0 basement in Lakewood. And I came in, and they said, I want to sit down and talk to you. So he took me into an Erev Tchumen room. So he's got a whole room over there. He's got all his equipment. So he said, okay, so show me, let me see your maps. So I took out my, I was very, very, very high tech. So I brought out my AAA maps and some old maps you get in the gas station or something. And I'm showing him the maps of Washington Heights and Riverdale. He starts laughing at me. He said, how do you want me to answer Shiloh with these maps? He said, I need satellite maps and I need these maps and that maps and the other maps. Just like Rabbi Klein that we spoke about the Mikvah man. Last night we spoke about the Arab man. So he said, Rabbi, I don't know what they're doing, why you, but you guys are not up to date. He said, you can't pass in Tchumen Shabbos like this. So he shows me, he starts showing me all his Lakewood maps. Not just high tech, but the raised maps with this, with satellite pictures and everything. I got you about to try to figure out what the story is. Anyway, so he couldn't help me too much. So I'm going to come back next time. I haven't gone back yet. So anyway, get back to the story. We'll sidetrack. So the Gemara has in the beginning of Masechet Sukkah that if you want to extend the city, so you have to extend it with bachim, you have to extend it with houses. So the Gemara says, what's considered to be a house for these purposes? So the Gemara says the same story. It's got to be dalat amos by dalat amos. If it's less than dalat amos, you have a little doghouse or something, so that's not considered to be a bias, and the city doesn't continue on. So the Gemara says, what if you have what's called a burganin? If you have like these little guard booths, So the Gemara says, yeah, that's okay. The Gemara says, either less than thou amas. So the Gemara says, no, but that's what they're made for. I mean, the whole purpose of making these little boots, these little YU security boots, they're made to be less than thou amas. So in the royal akach b'tash mishayu, the purpose of those boots is to be a guard boot. So all you need is a one amma by one amma. So the Gemara says that even though normally there's a klal of dalar amas by dalar amas, but if it's a hainatash mishayu, that's the way it's normally made, and that's the purpose, and it's fulfilling its function. If you build a house, so most normal people make houses bigger than dalar amas by dalar amas. You use a mishugan and made a one amma house, so that's butler daitza, that's not called a house. But if the normal way to make this particular type of a house is less than dalar amas, that's considered to be a house. So that's Sugya, the Rosh Hashanah, the Yidimus HaMasukha quotes a whole group of Acharenim, and then the Pesach Tshuva in Yerdei, Nuchuz Mezuzah quotes from the Chamudi Daniel, the following Chumrah. Now, when do we say that a house less than Dalad Amos, by Dalad Amos is part from Mezuzah? That's if you try to build a real house, if you try to make a bedroom. And instead of making a bedroom, Dalad Amos, by Dalad Amos, you made a one by one Amma. So what the Shugan sleeps in a one-hour bedroom? So but with Daita, that's not considered to be a house, and that room would be part of the mezuzah. But what if you have a particular room, which everybody makes less than dollar amas? That's normal to make it less than dollar amas. No one would walk in and say, well, this is a crazy room. That's what everybody does. So if that's the case, so then says the Chamuri Daniel, such a room taka would be chayv mezuzah, midaraisa. That's like the burger of the Gemara. So says the Pesachim, the Chamuri Daniel, the ramifications of that statement are very, very serious. Let's see, you have a closet. So we pass in, of course, that storerooms are chayim. We said, base oitzer is chayim, and there are ice. So you have a closet, the base oitzer. You're keeping your shoes there, you're keeping your clothes there, you're keeping the books there, whatever you're keeping in your closet. So your initial reaction to closets is closets are part of the mezuzah. They're less than dollar amas by dollar amas. So what's shaykh? Why should you have to put a mezuzah into a closet? Not so fast. That would be true if you have a bedroom in the closet. But if you have plenty of sleeping in the closet, you're planning on putting your stuff in the closet, so that's a normal way you make the closet. You go to, you look at the architectural designs on your house, and it says closet, 2 feet by 2 feet. So you wouldn't say to the guy, you're a sugar, you're crazy, you've made a closet that way. No, I think about closets that small. So some people have closets very, very big. Some people have closets that are bigger than the bedrooms. But a normal person, it's a small closet. So no one would say that's out of the ordinary. So according to this Chamuri Daniel, that room would be chayim midaraisa. You have to have a mitzvah going into the closet like any other room. It's a base also. It's less than dollar by dollar. It doesn't matter. That's the chiddush of the Chamuri Daniel. So the Rosh Hashanah questions whether that's really true. That we only find that chiddush of chayim tash mistayu, that's ruil l'kachot tashmish, in the sugya of Burgen and in the sugya of Eruv Chumen, which is a sugya of Derabanan. We don't find it by other mitzvahs. We don't find it by Machia. We don't find it by Mi'ishya Banabai's Lachanacho. We don't find it in Chuz Nezuzah. So many Acharenim say it's not true. Many Acharenim say L'hoyud V'Anayolam is a special, unique din by Burgen. You can't extrapolate from there to Chuz Nezuzah. But Nezuzah, Kach Dimtza, Loch L'Moshe B'Sinai, less than Dalad Amos, and Dalad Amos. Potter, the mezuzah, end of discussion, no matter what. So we come out that according to those Acharonim, you're not mechuyev in mezuzah going into a closet. But a major machlokes Acharonim, a closet chayev in mezuzah. According to the Chamuri Daniel, they are, because that's like the Burgen of old. According to others, they're not, because you can't extrapolate from Burgen and Meiru Tchumen all the way back to Chuz Mezuzah. So up until now, we only presented one side of the story, literally one side. Hopefully, next week, we'll present the whole other side of the story, and that's Rabbi Kivega's Chumra. Rabbi Kivega has a Chiddush Gadol, which we'll talk a little bit more about the ramifications of this next week. Rabbi Kivega says, when you have a room that's potem in mezuzah because it's less than dalar amas, by dalar amas, that's true, it's potem in mezuzah. So it's like kimandaleis, it's like it doesn't exist, it's like it's outdoors. So good, it's potem in mezuzah. But when you come from that closet into your bedroom, so you chayv in mezuzah, because it's like coming from the outdoors to the indoors. So you need a mezuzah on the closet, on the wrong side. You need a mezuzah on the left side going into the closet, which is the right side going into the house. So we'll have to figure that out next week. So in light of the Chamuri Daniel, in light of the Kimeger, we'll have to try to figure out Lamaisa, where does this put us in terms of our closets, Halacha Lamaisa. Hopefully next week we'll continue. I remember I said about sleeping in the closet.